Many mothers in the Philadelphia area struggle to feed, clothe, and house their children every day. Wayne Hall is Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission's Women's Transitional Home. The program at Wayne Hall teaches women how to restructure their lives according to the Word of God. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will keep families together by showing mothers how to have a better life. You can help these struggling mothers by donating to Sunday Breakfast. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission gives women a chance to have a better life. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission shelter homeless women in Philadelphia today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. A mother's chance for a new future today.
Your furry family members matter too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets, so come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
This is Carla DeDessi here at Your Family Matters at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty here in the Philadelphia area. I'm so excited to have Corbin Burnson on the phone with me this morning. He is a very well-known actor. If you Google him, you will absolutely recognize him. And he's been in a lot of fabulous movies as well as television. And most recently, he has written and directed a new film called Christian Mingle, the movie. And it takes a hilarious look at the online dating scene. Thank you for being with us this morning, Corbin.
Well, thank you for having me.
So share with me a little bit. Last night, I spent a lot of time looking at, you know, YouTube videos and the little blurbs that you have about this movie. And I watched it with my three little girls and my mom, and I highly recommend it. But, you know, you're an actor. How did you get into writing, this passion for writing? Because it's actually really has a lot of great dialogue.
I've always written. I actually had my master's degree from college was in playwriting. Flat out, they wouldn't accept me where I was going to school at UCLA into the master's degree of acting. So they had, you know, different kinds of, you know, sort of song and dance people doing that in the college days back then. But so one of my professors who really liked one of the small little one-act plays that I had written, which we all had to do, said, "Lee, why don't you go into the writing program? You know, there's openings there." And we had a fabulous teacher who talked about story, and I learned about story. But the dialogue part I've always had a bit of an ear for. I'm keenly interested into the rhythms of the way people speak. And I guess as an actor, I can sort of shift into the character to write dialogue. So I've always enjoyed writing dialogue.
And I know that you're from a Hollywood family. Dad's a producer, mom's an actress. And I'm curious, what made you go down the path of writing faith dialogue and this faith film?
That actually was after many, many, about 5 or 6 years ago, my father passed away. And I was sitting with his ashes, and really struck me that, you know, that I hadn't for quite a while thought about, you know, the bigger picture. You know, what are these? That's the end of him, ashes to ashes, you know. And I just started thinking about, you know, going back and starting thinking about things that I had begun to think about when I was a kid, you know, God, faith, not specifically Jesus or Christ at that point, but more the larger picture. And then as I went down the road, I wrote a film called Rust, which I guess subconsciously I was starting to explore this. And I made this little movie, and through it, just a series of wonderful, we could call them coincidences, you know, miraculous things happened during the making of this movie that I wrote. So not the least of which was Sony picked it up as our first little feature. And I just started seeing, I guess, the hand of God in my work and my Christian faith, which is what I was raised with, sort of came forth, you know. My mother, who you speak so kindly about it, she was a little bit of a crazy woman, and she's alcoholic for many years. And
oh, I didn't know that.
She was one of the old days. What's that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she was. Very tortured and tormented for years, I think, you know, unhappy in love and all those things. Wonderful with family and all that, but, you know, her relationship with my father was, you know, probably not all that she dreamed of as a little girl. Nonetheless, she got herself into a bad place for many, 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 many years, and it worked through it, continued through it. But she would still always talk about Christ, you know. I mean, I read even her letters after she died. I found a notebook of letters that she'd write in the middle of the night when she was either, you know, coming sober, getting sober, or, you know, at the deep end of a binge. And she just always talked about, you know, Jesus and compassion. And she lived her life, I think, not as Jesus, the religious figure, but the man and the words of compassion and
grace,
service, you know, humility. She lived that life. So I, you know, I had that came forth, and it really just it went into this first film. And the next thing you know, Sony Pictures says, "Oh, you're a Christian filmmaker." And I said, "Okay, that sounds good. If it allows me to write and make movies," and it has allowed me to make, at this point, you know, 6 films in the faith-based world.
I want to thank you because I have 3 little girls, and we are craving family entertainment.
Right.
And we are craving faith-based films that have a purpose and can make us feel good when we leave. And I don't mean good, Corbin, in like, I don't know, a happy, superficial, bling-bling way. I mean like makes me think about compassion, grace, contentment, my life, my purpose here on this earth. And I think, go ahead.
I think that's because, you know, and it's why I've stepped into this, and actually I'm going to start making a few more films coming up that are more just straight family. You know, the faith-based family is good, and it's great to have faith in there. I feel like I've done a bit of the journey of faith, of discovering my faith again, which is a lot of what my movie's about. And it doesn't mean I'm abandoning it. I have 3 or 4 stories that are going to continue on. But the notion of family films is one thing that I'm really going to explore. I have 3 good ideas that I'm trying to get down on paper now. But I think what you're saying is it's not just, you know, it's I think the world is in such a place, in such a state, that it's not that we want gushy, happy endings. I mean, that's, you know, that's great too, and we, you know, animated movies have that often. I think what we want to do is be reaffirmed that humanity is good, because we see so much negativity about humanity and the atrocities that man does to each other, whether it's racial tensions in this country or obviously what's happening in, you know, in France recently or the entire Middle East. We want to be reaffirmed that basically that we're good, kind people, you know, that whether you believe in God or not, you know, and I talk to atheist friends about this, we're good, kind people. How we got there, we differ on people, you know, how we've arrived at being human beings on this earth and planet, we differ. But again, you talk to people of all faiths, you know, I think at the core of it, we're good, kind people that do generally have compassion and admire community and family, and celebrate those things which feel good, look good, and beauty and grace, you know, and love.
And hope.
And I think we're like you said, we don't need a movie that necessarily ties up everything, because life, our kids aren't really buying that, because you know what, even if you do a movie that's got grace and hope and all, it's not all tied up. Life's not all tied up right now. It's certainly not. My kids don't recognize it as tied up, but they do recognize the ability for it, and that's hope. You know, they do recognize that.
Corbin, we're going to talk about your movie a little bit, but I have to go back to the story that you just shared of your mom, because I think so many of us out there know your family a little bit. I personally did not know everything that you shared about your mom, but when we think of Beverly Hills and Hollywood, we think that that is what everyone wants to dream and strive for. And here you have your mom that, you know, she was living in Beverly Hills and she has this very wonderful career. However, she has struggles like all of us have, because not one of us has a perfect life. And as you said, there is good within us, but I live with myself every day, Corbin. I'd be lying to you if I said that I don't think bad thoughts and I don't want to do bad things. So here's your mom that, you know her because you're her son, and she is struggling with a lot of deep, dark issues, but she still has hope, and her hope is in Christ and in God and in providence, and that she has a creator, and that even though we have these struggles, there's hope. So I would be thrilled to see you have family movies that just weave in hope. And how, as a family, whether it's grandparents or aunts and uncles or cousins, family, whatever your family looks like, that, we go through this life together.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful film, and it's getting all the awards and recognition, and I encourage everyone to see it. It doesn't tie up neatly at the end. Still Alice, about this, Julianne Moore going through, the stages of Alzheimer's, and Kristen Stewart, who's out of the Twilight movies. I think it's a great movie for your kids. I don't know how old your kids are, but it's a great movie to see, because here's this woman who goes through these very quickly in 2 hours. I mean, she actually has very quick and fast moving Alzheimer's, which happens often with, I guess, when you're in your 50s, when it starts early onset. We have this wonderful reinvention of her daughter, and Kristen Stewart, who, you just think of as Twilight, that kind of stuff, is just wonderful in the movie. But there's hope. I mean, it's a wonderful movie. Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not, but I absolutely must see it.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful, I think it's exactly what we're talking about. Is it a quote-unquote family movie? I don't know. I mean, but, too often we think a family movie is, Swiss Family Robinson or, Benji or something. I don't think, a family movie to me, like the show Psych I was in, I mean, simply you can sit with the whole family and everybody will enjoy some to a certain age. I mean, obviously, if kids are 5 or 6. You're watching Toy Story. It doesn't matter. But if your kids are, into 9, 10, 11, they're really starting to form those thoughts to be preteens, certainly into teens. There are a lot of what I call family movies, meaning you sit down like I have done throughout my life with my kids, and we sit and watch movies together. And it's often, Bambi and Lego Movie and all those are wonderful. And there's great values, actually, in those movies. So there are things to talk about. But, some movies that we consider more adult, I don't know, that sounds wrong.
A little mature.
Mature. Kids actually, there's some there, like this movie Still Alice, I think it's a great movie to see, especially for kids. I mean, brilliant casting to put your Kristen Stewart in, because she obviously comes out of Twilight movies and sort of has her own sort of image in Hollywood with struggles and this and that. But really a wonderful movie filled with hope and, reflection on life. And also just, saying to people, hey, this is, life can be perfect. And then this ugliness can strike, like Alzheimer's. Beautiful movie. But yes, my mom, it's really, really important that people know that. I've been talking to somebody, I have a woman who works with me with nutrition, and she has a friend who, I guess in theory, is a psychiatrist, but it really just somebody. After my mother died, I just wanted to talk about something. Really, a lot of it is to help me understand even some of these stories that I want to tell as I get older and I reflect on things in life about humanity. And we had a discussion the other day. It was really interesting about. I had this thing, I was talking about, I have dark thoughts sometimes.
Sure.
I have places in my head that are negative, that are so contrary to what I think are should be, you know, are contrary to, you know, a perfect life. I've been married for 26 years. I have four wonderful kids. I'm blessed with a career. You know, I still have these places I go to. And it's important. And is this woman, who's a very kind woman, who was, you know, just so generous in her time with me to really reflect on things. She said, we all have that. You know, the thing becomes in life is whether you allow yourself to stay there and sink into it and or act on.
Sure.
Sometimes, you know.
And also recognize you know,
men.
It.
I'll give you a big one with men. And I know you're talking about family. You're settled here.
Yeah, this is perfect.
But, you know, men, you know, and it's I'd love to, I probably want to address this somewhere. To think that a man sits and, as we get older, doesn't look at it, you know, you've been married for a certain amount of time and you don't look at another woman or look at a younger woman and think, man, that takes me back. That'd be great. The most pious, religious, faithful guy at church, you know, men do that. And she said, people, and women do, by the way, as well, like, you know, look at that.
Sure,
look,
we're
look
human.
That, you know, you're human. But it's when you act on it or when you feel compelled to continue following it, you know.
Correct.
And but sometimes we beat ourselves up, especially. Why would they see I'm so perfect in love? Why am I even having this thought? And we think it's wrong, and it's not wrong to have thought. It's not wrong to have it.
You have to stop it there and not let it turn into action. It cannot turn into action.
God wants us to doubt God. You know, God, you know, he wants us to doubt and question. I think the more we doubt, question, have... Look, if I look at somebody, and I'm in a perfect marriage, I look and I... Oh man, that would just, you know, give me a day pass, you know, let me out of this for
sure.
5 minutes. But if you don't act on it and you simply have the thought, you actually grow closer to your wife.
But Corbin, and I agree with you. And Corbin, don't you also think that you and all the men that you're speaking to right now who are listening to you, you are recognizing that really a lie is popping into your head. The truth is that you have a gorgeous wife at home.
Right.
And you
right.
have, what, 18 years of... Or I've been married 18 years. How many years have you been married?
26
years. The truth is that you have 26 years and four gorgeous boys.
Right.
And a fabulous wife. And she has you who are fabulous. And that is so much greater than a fleeting thought or a one moment pass. Am I right?
But I think, and it is. Actually, you know, whether they're God's plan or their nature, however you want to look at it, they're there and they have purpose. They are. Offers you the choice. God wants you to make choice. And when you make the choice to simply not act on it, enjoy the moment, let it be there in your head, fantasy, do whatever you want to do. That's your free moment, but when you don't act on it and you come back to your home, you're that much stronger. I often equate it to like a bank account. You know, it's sometimes you go to the bank, you say, I've saved $7,000. Maybe I should go buy a flat screen right now, TV, and that's going to take me down to five, but I could do it. And you go, you know what? I have a 42-inch, I don't know, a 50-inch. And then the next thing you go, I've got $7,000 in the bank. You feel stronger.
Right.
You feel
right.
empowered.
Right, you know? Because you...
My wife often says, we do a lot of window shopping, you know, instead of shopping.
Sure.
She does. And it's fun. You go out and you say, oh, gosh, I'd love to get that. Look at that handbag. It's $600. It's
right.
Marc Jacobs. Wonderful,
right.
beautiful. And you sit there and you circle it and you put it on your arm and you And then you don't do it and you realize you walk out and you go, hey, you know what? I have... $100, you know what? Hey,
you're stronger.
$100 more for if we're on vacation, you know, stay at a nice hotel because that's a real life experience,
sure.
you know. And it just it's window shopping. It's window shopping, and I think there's the new movie. It's because that's really what
I know. I like
too.
That.
That's
that could be your next one. Uh huh.
It's window shopping because that's what you do with God. You know.
Well, and
you know,
I think
it's so
Corbin.
Easy. Yeah.
Corbin, I think that, you know, as Christians, Christ mm-hmm. is in that name. So he is our leader. He was even tempted, just as you are saying. Remember, he was for 40 mm-hmm. days in the desert, and the devil was saying to him, or a voice or a spirit was saying to him, you know, look at this. I'll give you all of this. So we serve someone, or we love someone, and by that I'm saying Christ, who went through the same temptations that we did, but he withstood them. Now, I'm not Christ, nor are you. So we are going to slip and fall. We are. It's part of life. But again, I love that you're doing all these movies, and I love that you, as like, you're a leader, you know, people are going to listen to you because of where God has placed you, Corbin. And I am so thankful that you're using his gifts that he's given to you and all of these blessings just to not just feed yourself, but to give back. I just want to thank you for that personally.
Well, something miraculous happens when you give back. I have to tell you a very dear moment for a quick little story that happened 2 days ago. I wrote it on Facebook, and I have a pretty good Facebook audience that actually I built during the course of my mother's passing. I sent out one little Facebook message to a community and said, prayer for my mom, she's not doing well. And she had so many people. So the next thing you know, I had millions of people coming to Facebook and commenting, and built a core group of people who stayed with me. We talk about my mother, we talk about life, we talk about faith, we talk about many things that go on in the news. But anyway, the other day, you know, every time I say, hey, go, my movie's out, go buy, you know, people are like, okay, that's, you know, yeah, it's nice, thank you for telling us. It's a good place to, you know, say I'm going to be on NCIS or something, or tune into the last episode of Psych. But the other day I was in Walmart, and I always go buy one copy of my movies that come out. So Christian Mingle came out. It said Walmart's been very kind in helping us. And I went and bought a copy in a very nondescript location here in Los Angeles. You know, I'd like to just go, you know, I don't know where the star Walmarts are anyway, but I bought a copy of the movie, and I'm standing in a rather long line to, you know, check out. And the woman ahead of me finally gets to the thing, and she's counting out, and she's like putting a couple of items down. And I have to make note, because people on Facebook, of course, like to, you know, throw stuff back at you. It was not food. It was not essentials. But she's looking at her, like, makeup, and like, oh, that's a little too expensive. I'll take that out, and that's too much. And so she's sort of going through this process. And she looks back, and she sees me holding the DVD. She goes, oh, is that a good movie? And I said, I think so. I directed it, so I think it's pretty good. And she said, oh, maybe I can see it one day. And I realized, you know, she's very tight on money, and so she's putting half of her stuff back when she's checking out because there were no prices on it. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to give it to you. She goes, really? Oh, bless you, bless you. I said, you know, just do me a favor. If you like it, tell people. She goes, oh, I'll go to my church, and I'll tell everybody about it. And I said, well, that's wonderful.
Awesome.
Anyway, I go outside, and there she is. She took her receipt, and on the receipt, I guess there was a redemption to go get some free food inside Walmart at, like, their snack stand or something like that. And she was giving her receipts to two homeless guys.
Aww.
Instead of herself.
You know. Right.
And I thought it was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And like you said, when you sort of give of yourself, if you give, you know, I mean, yes, it's pay forward, it's all those kinds of things, but it's just for a brief moment. I honestly thought, and it's very important that my movies do well so we can keep our company going. So young guys that work with me who aren't as fortunate to have an acting career, but this is all they do, they can have their lives. You know, one just had a baby, so, you know, it's important that we make money on these movies.
Of course.
In that brief moment, it was, I thought, if this is the only copy of the movie, for me personally, and I've given it to a woman who put a smile on her face, who can't afford the few bits that she was, you know, everything she had on the little checkout stand at Walmart, and then she takes a receipt where she could get something, and she gives it to somebody else.
Right.
I thought, that's the world.
She's almost
that's the
like
world I want to live in.
Yeah, she's the woman that has like the two little pennies, but she still gives it to the church. Like
she gave it to exactly right.
And you reminded me of something, Corbin. And I love this conversation. You're obviously wise and discerning from things that you're sharing with me. But I've been trying to put in place in my own life, because I think that Christianity or Christians sometimes it's not PC, or maybe people think of Christians in a really bad light. So I've been trying to teach my three little girls, and my husband and I have been working on this together, that sometimes it's really easy to write a check, or sometimes it's really easy to do that fundraiser, but I want them to see me on a daily basis doing something, as little or big as it is, that kind of makes an impact. So the other day I was in a store, probably like Walmart, and it was like called Amelia's out here, and I'm shopping, and there's this kid behind me, Corbin, that, you know, looks really depressed and down and out. He has his little iPad phone things on, and you can tell that he's not socially like connecting with anybody, poor eyesight. And I say to him, and he looks totally opposite from me, you know, probably somebody that your wife might cross the street and walk on the opposite side of the street if she's, you know. So I look at this kid, and I felt compelled, you know. I felt like it was God saying, you need to pay for what he's buying. He was buying like two candy bars and two big, huge gallons of Mountain Dew. So I looked at him and I said, I want to buy that for you. Can I buy that for you? And he takes his things out of his ears. He's like, you want to buy that for me? Yes, I want to buy that for you today. So I said, put it on my bill. It was like $6, you know? Well, right. You could have heard the whole store stop. The girl that's checking me in is like, oh my goodness, that's so awesome. I can't believe. And I almost was very humbled by it, Corbin, because I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's $6. Gosh, should I give this guy a ride in my car? Which my husband was like, absolutely not. You don't want to drive him anywhere, you know? But my point is this. This kid, who probably looked like nobody had ever given him $6, right. I feel like I was a blessing to him, and I feel like right. I had an opportunity to talk to my little girls and be like, I feel like I was Jesus' hands and feet today, because that's what he would have done. He helped the poor and the needy.
Right. And, well, you know, you make an important point there, and I want to relate that. I was actually in a store in Milwaukee about a year ago for the 25th anniversary of this movie, Major League, that I did. And I stopped in to get a bottle of water. I was taking a walk, and I saw a young kid, same kind of kid, going through the cooler, you know, the where they, you know, have drinks, Gatorade and different things like that. And he's looking at a big thing of Gatorade and a small little can of this. And obviously, he's looking at the prices, and he doesn't have enough money. And it was sort of a hot day out, so I said to him, I said, look, you want that one to drink? He goes, yeah. I said, but now I don't have enough money for the bus. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy it for you. He says, really? You know, same thing, you know. Right. And I actually put a condition down. I said, but here's the thing. I would have bought it for me either way. I said, but here's the thing. I said, you in school? And he said, yeah. I said, look, do yourself a favor. Do me one favor. You don't have to, but I'm going to ask you this. Stay in school. Stay clean. Do what you can. Know that the guy that gave you this, it doesn't kill me to get by you a $2.20 drink, you know, on a hot day. But I say, it will mean the world to me if you remember every time you have a choice to make that somebody believed in you. And I said, I believe in you. I don't know you, but I believe in you. I believe in all the potential in you. And he's looking at me like, what are you, really? I said, I do. So just remember every time you have a crossroads, just remember there's some guy that you don't know his name, you don't know who he is, bought you that $2 drink, some stranger for some reason said, I believe in you, and act on that. Act on that, not the other impulse. He looked at me and he kind of shook his head, and I walked outside. He was sitting at the bus stop where he was able to get this bus, and he looked at me and he said, I promise you I'll do that. And I thought, that's it.
You just gave him hope.
I gave him hope. And the important thing here is your story and my story, and this is, I think as Christians, one thing that's really, really important is, you know, to teach your kids, for all of us to teach all of our kids, is to do those acts and then say, Jesus loves you. You kind of defeat the act. Because then you turn it into another entire conversation that somebody may not be, you know,
receptive.
They could be Jewish, you know, they could be receptive for whatever reason. Either they have no knowledge of what you're talking about, or they're a different religion, or their parents are atheists, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
You're in a different thing. But what you can do, and you said it a moment ago, and I think this is where we fall really short as Christians, is do the things that Christ would have done. Afterward, you know, through me is the way to the Father, you know, but that's not, you know, that's that moment when Christ was helping the poor at the feet of the poor. He wasn't doing that. He was just doing the act.
Right.
And I think that we must, I think the act is more important than those follow-up words, because if you do the act and those acts are done to people on a routine basis, mm-hmm. they're going to, Christ, incredible powers are so much stronger than us. They will find their way in. People will start to recognize, oh, those are acts.
I agree.
Of God, of kindness. And as opposed to it being sort of like, you know, the IKEA
proselytizing.
You're proselytizing. And I think people react to that. Then down the line, if somebody, you know, if I do that act of kindness to that woman at Walmart, I didn't say anything about being a Christian. I didn't say anything about being in church, anything like that. If she watches that movie and I did that act, and
yes.
later I win an award for my movie and I go, thank God I'm a Christian, you know, thank God, you know, or she finds out that I'm Christian, she'll go, oh, that's what being
yes.
Christian is.
Right.
Instead of saying, now you must convert, you know.
Let me ask you this question, Joe, because I love this conversation. This is going off tangent a little bit, but I'll tell you, in my own personal experience, I had to start just giving money to random strangers, or not just giving money to them, but, you know, I'll say, okay, come over to Dunkin' Donuts and I'll buy you a coffee.
Right.
I had to, because for so long it was ingrained in me, no, you give money to a well-known organization that is using your money right. wisely. You don't just give it to, like, somebody that might spend drugs on it. I had to, like, right. step away and say, you know what? My responsibility is to care for that poor homeless man that I'm walking by with my kids. I want them to see me showing compassion. It's not my responsibility to make to be his conscience and make sure that he doesn't buy alcohol with it. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. I struggle with that one myself, especially here in Los Angeles. It's just, I could be giving money to every other guy on the corner.
Oh, sure.
But going and buying them coffee
is different, you know, or buying them a cheeseburger.
It is, or bringing some food to them, so they won't, here in L.A., they won't, you know, if you give a guy, there was a guy, and I'm not saying that stopped completely, but I sort of stopped doing it a bit, or the compulsion to do it. I gave a guy like $5, and he didn't acknowledge it, thank you, nod his head, and they sort of snapped it out of my hands, and I thought, yeah, he's never going to follow me to a coffee shop or, you know. So what I find myself doing now, if anything, is I have a little trouble reaching into my pocket every time. Like if there's somebody, some woman who really looks like she's, you know, on the side of the freeway and just it looks like my mother who just, you can sort of tell people who just the economy has just kicked them.
Hurt them.
And then you can tell people who either have, you know, mental issues or drug issues or drink issues. You know, you can sort of discern between them. But I really struggle with that one. It's a hard one because in LA I could empty my bank account. And I've chosen not to turn a blind eye to it. I often find myself say a little prayer afterwards, just, you know, please, you know, please, you know, help this
yes,
person.
Yes,
I think
that's
nothing,
important.
No dollar.
Right. I think that's important. You're giving, but you're also praying over that person.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. And if I have a bit of food, like if I ever do pull up to somebody on the side of the road and they, you know, have a sign,
So tell us, Corbin, this has been an awesome conversation. You've exceeded my, my expectations. So tell me, where can we get Christian Mingle? I know that it's at Walmart.
Clearly, it's at Walmart.
I'm surprised that you have Walmarts in Beverly Hills and that you just go there.
I don't live in Beverly Hills. I live outside.
You know what I mean. I'm teasing you.
No. Yes, L.A., Hollywood, it's not all La La Land. We're just normal people with strip malls and homeless people and like anywhere else. I certainly don't live in that environment anyway. It's not my thing. It's not our family's thing. You can get the movie, you know, Walmart, most Christian bookstores, you know, whether they're mom and pop versions or
right.
some of the other larger chains of Christian bookstores. I think Amazon will have it soon. There will be a iTunes streaming version of it coming up soon, but I think, little window here of DVDs coming out first, but Walmart and I believe I'm not sure if it's in Target and all those other ones, but Walmart's been a great partner. They pre-ordered quite a few copies, so there should be plenty of stock there. Walmart online, just, it actually went down the first day because I guess they sold out the online, the amount they sold for.
You're getting fabulous reviews. You're getting fabulous reviews.
Yeah, so it's at all the normal places, and you know, over the course of time, it'll be, you know, I know a lot of people I've talked to, this is kind of interesting because we're in a, especially for a little smaller budget movie like ours, which really needs support, you know, a lot of people are switching over and they just don't buy DVDs anymore. So they really depend on, you know, iTunes or, you know, Netflix or something like that. And unfortunately with these movies, you know, they're smaller and you just got to convince people that, you know, they can put them up there with, you know, bigger movies because there is an audience. So, you know, the more the audience demands, the sooner it gets to places like iTunes and places like that. But for now, Walmart and your Christian bookstores or a small little plug for our company, and you also can learn more about us and the films we do. We do offer it at hometheaterfilms.com. That's theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, films, F-I-L-M-S.com, hometheaterfilms.com in our store. And for those who are so inclined, then care, there are also, we have a version of it with a movie poster signed by both Lacey Chabert, who stars in it, and I, and a limited edition of those. We like to always put a little something special up for people who might be so inclined to want a collectible thing. And there you have it.
Corbin, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and giving us fabulous advice. And I pray huge blessings on this new chapter in your life.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll be making some... How old are your kids? I didn't ask.
My girls, I have three little girls, 14, 12, and soon to be 10.
Oh, wow.
It's a party every day. It's a party every day.
You're in the zone. You're in the pocket. Okay.
We have a great time, yes.
No, the films I have, I'm going to be writing coming up are great, you know, and they'll have great faith values. I just may not talk faith in them so much as opposed
to... No, but that's okay, because you know what I heard you say earlier in our interview, which we do with our kids? Let's say that we go and we see a movie that really doesn't have family values in it. It's still a teachable moment for my family, Corbin.
Right.
We'll walk
right
out and we'll talk to them about that. Why we agree, why we disagree, why...
Right.
And I hear you. You said that you talk to your children about films all the time, which is the parental role. We're supposed to be doing that.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So,
and by the way, when you find that you talk about films, and this is a little scary, and the last thing I'll say about all of this is that I did a podcast with a fellow the other day who's Christian but really loves movies. And the interesting thing is you'll find, because your kids are going to gravitate in this day and world to things that you might go, oh, gosh, I wish they weren't watching that or hearing that. But if you build in early on the ability to talk to your kids about films, you'll find that, you know, they watch films that you kind of, you know, may have language in it as they get older, nudity, whatever.
Violence.
As long as you can talk about it, because I let my kids pretty much watch anything. But you know why? We talk about it afterward. We talk on two levels here. Why it worked as a movie or didn't work. And then we talk about the values in it. And once you start talking about the values, you start to see the gratuitousness for what it is. It's gratuitousness. And my kids even talk about it, oh, that's just so they can sell tickets. So they're not really moved by it. It takes some of that other part out, and they kind of see it for what it is, which allows them in the world to see it for what it is.
Well, you're teaching them to think critically.
Right, right. And you'll be surprised, you don't fight that battle so much of like, oh, don't go to see that movie. In fact, I know this is going on way too long, but one of the movies that I am going to write that does have faith values. Somebody brought up the thing the other day, and he heard from some kid online. He's a guy in the podcast. So he heard from a kid who lives in a very small town, very Christian town, and he's not allowed to watch movies, but he loves movies. Not allowed to, you know. And you do not, that's Satan. Films are Satan. And what a beautiful story about a young kid who wants to be a part of the film world and see movies. And in my movie version, he's going to end up making a movie, but it's going to talk. It will be all about his faith. and it will turn people.
And, you know, yeah. I think that you're talking about what we call legalism, which is where we think, oh, you're a Christian, you should not be in the movie world. Oh, you say that you're a Christian, you should not be in the, you know, political world. Well,
or online dating. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Is that for Christian Mingle?
Exactly. But we're supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. We're supposed to be everywhere. That God places us everywhere.
You know, Dove, who teaches the films and gives their doves for the family movies and all that. We got one less dove, and part of it is because it discusses online dating.
I love it. How old are your children, off the record?
26. Twins are 22 and 16. Four boys.
What a fabulous family. Okay, I write conservative children's books, but your boys are too old. They're too old.
I think they're too old. Yeah, they're for my age kids.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, blessings to you. Thank you so much for giving me so much of your time.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay. God bless. Bye. Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders. The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers. This is February, and in February, we think a lot about love and Valentine's Day. February 14th is a big buildup. I know that I have started to decorate for Valentine's Day with hearts and my heart pillows, and, you know, I'm starting to make pink pancakes and pink mashed potatoes. I do all of the holidays big at my house, just not Christmas. We buy cards. I don't just celebrate Valentine's Day with my husband. I give little gifts to my kids, to my children, to my nieces and my nephews. I send cards to my parents, and probably a lot of you are the same way. You don't just celebrate Valentine's Day romantically. You celebrate probably with everyone that you love in your life. So this month we've been looking at relationships, and we have a lot of people who we're bringing to you who are experts in relationships or have been through difficult relationships or fabulous relationships, and just kind of focusing on love. Well, did you know that Valentine's Day is so much more than just cards and candy and chocolate? It's that also. But if we go way back in history, St. Valentine was a real person who was martyred for Jesus Christ. And I have talked about Voice of the Martyrs before on Your Family Matters. And they have a wonderful book, amongst many others. But they have the story of St. Valentine. So this is a book that I pull out for my kids every February, and then I put it away in March. And then I get St. Patrick out, which is also by Voice of the Martyrs. I recommend both of these books highly because there is usually a religious Christian significance behind the holidays that we celebrate. So let's talk a little bit about Be My Valentine with Saint Valentine. So Valentine was a leader in the church and lived in the Roman Empire during the 3rd century. And there were actually 3 Valentines who are noted as having lived in the late 3rd century during Emperor Claudius II's reign. One was a priest in Rome, another was a bishop in Terni, Italy. I like to put my accent on when I'm talking about Italy. And the third was a martyr in a Roman province at the time, which was in Africa. Some believe that the martyrdom of all three men named Valentinus occurred on February 14th. Many scholars believe two of them, the priest in Rome and the bishop who was in Terni, Italy, are the same, suggesting that the bishop was actually a Roman priest and was sentenced and brought to Rome for execution. And he was martyred. Valentinus was martyred about, we believe, 269 AD. And this is the story of why he was martyred. And some do still have some questions, but indeed, history, when they have dug and done archaeological digs, they have unearthed a Roman catacomb and an ancient church dedicated just to Valentinus. And he's even mentioned in some ancient writings, one being Jacobus de Voringenis, which his book was called The Golden Legend. And I have not actually read that source, but this is from where this story is coming. And evidently was also in a book called The Nuremberg Chronicle, which was written during the Middle Ages in 1493. So certainly there are resources and research that has been done that Valentinus indeed did exist. And this is what they tell us. They tell us that when Emperor Claudius II was in power, he had Valentinus executed for secretly marrying Roman soldiers. These Roman soldiers and Valentinus were defying the orders that came from the emperor, who said that they were not allowed to get married. The reason that Emperor Claudius said that they were not allowed to get married, which, by the way, Claudius was also called Claudius the Cruel, he decided to say no one could get married because he was having difficulty recruiting soldiers and believed Roman men were unwilling to leave their loved ones because soldiers were required to fight for at least 25 years. During his rule. So here in the States, you know, you sign up for 2 to 4 years. You had to sign up for 25 years. So Claudius, since he was the emperor, banned all marriages and engagements in all of his provinces, in all of Rome's empire. But Valentinus, who was a priest and loved God, knew that marriage was something that was ordained and created by God, and this emperor really did not have the authority to say that people could not get married. So secretly, Saint Valentine would marry couples in the woods, in the dark of the evenings, and indeed he was caught, and he was taken before the emperor Claudius. And he indeed tried to convert Claudius, evidently. And there were conversations that went back and forth, and you can read them in the Golden Legend. Google that. And Valentine was imprisoned, and while he was waiting for execution, he was sharing his faith, of course, with everyone in the jail. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Paul. But indeed, he was indeed executed. And then in 496 AD, this is when the Roman Church, at this point they were Catholic, decided to replace a pagan Roman holiday, which was celebrated on February 14th. The pagan Romans honored Juno, who was the queen of the Roman gods and goddesses, and she was also known as the goddess of marriage, on February 14th. So that's when they would celebrate this pagan god. This is when the Catholic Church decided that they would take over February 14th and call it St. Valentine's Day and honor Valentinus, who was executed under Claudius in Rome back in 269 when he was martyred. And remember, he was celebrating marriage and he was fighting for marriage at that time. My goodness, it doesn't sound too much different from those of us who are fighting for traditional marriage today. So next time you think about Valentine's Day, think that it is way more than chocolates and flowers and going out on date nights and taking, you know, the whole family out to dinner and celebrating love. There was really a Saint Valentine who was martyred, and teach that to your children. This is who we should be remembering on Valentine's Day, and inspire your children to act boldly, like St. Valentine's did. He presented Jesus Christ to a world in need and shared with others, even when he was in jail, that Christ is the hope that is in us, which we can find in 1 Peter 3:15. Something else that I want to share with you is that my husband and I had the opportunity to recently go to a love and respect marriage conference at our church. Highly recommend this if this comes to your church or to your town. Emerson Egerichs and his wife Sarah, they are the founders of this love and respect conference. And basically, it was so enlightening, and it taught us that in marriage, it is really the woman that wants to feel love, and that's what kind of fills her love tank. But men need something different. God created us uniquely and differently in the sexes, and men require and need more respect. And so that's something that we learned. And I looked at my husband and I said, would you rather have respect for me? Like, I show you respect. I tell you that I respect you. Then I tell you that I love you. And he said, absolutely. I want to know that you respect me. So I would encourage you to go on their website, loveandrespect.com, and check out their ministries. And it was funny because Lenny said to me, you know, whenever you send me cards, it always says XOXOXO, I love you so much, with little hearts all over the place. And he was saying, I much rather you say, you know, respectfully, or I respect you. And a Bible verse that they used at this conference that we have all read a million times, and it talks, the Bible verses in Ephesians, it says, a husband must love his wife and a wife must respect her husband. And I read that Bible verse with totally new eyes in Ephesians 5:33, because you just think about marriage or relationships that it just needs love, 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 more love. But if we're not communicating with each other, the wife, the husband needs to be communicating love to the wife, and the wife needs to be communicating respect to the husband, we may find ourselves having breakdown. And again, it was just, it was a really great conference to attend. So check it out, especially this month of February when we're thinking about love and thinking about relationships. Try and think about how you can better your marriage and be more of a great example of marriage to your children or even your grandchildren who are watching. This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
We believe in you, God. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this.
Many mothers in the Philadelphia area struggle to feed, clothe, and house their children every day. Wayne Hall is Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission's Women's Transitional Home. The program at Wayne Hall teaches women how to restructure their lives according to the Word of God. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will keep families together by showing mothers how to have a better life. You can help these struggling mothers by donating to Sunday Breakfast. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission gives women a chance to have a better life. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission shelter homeless women in Philadelphia today. To make your gift or learn more, visit SundayBreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. A mother's chance for a new future today.
Your furry family members matter too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets, so come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.